they stole it from me. It's become a testimony. He thought he stole it from me. Devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. What the devil meant for bad, God meant for good. Stole it from me. It's become a testimony. You thought you stole it from me. It's become a testimony.
All my sorrows turn to dancing. All my pain turned into joy. All my tears turned into laughter. All my fear turned to a roar. So praise the Lord.
From me. That's what I need to know.
see you, child, though you can't see me. And I know your thoughts before you even say. I heard every last prayer you prayed, though I answered all the time. You just didn't heed my reply. And I know it's not easy. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up.
Welcome, Ascend Church. We are now inviting you into the presence of the Lord as we worship Him, as we lift Him up, as we magnify His name. Come on and give Him a praise in this place. Hallelujah. Yes, God.
I searched the world.
Come on and help me.
But it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together. And every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing
better than you, Lord.
There's nothing
better than you,
Lord. There's nothing.
Nothing is better than you.
This I know is true.
Sing, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend.
Is that your testimony this morning?
Because the God of the mountain,
yes, Lord,
is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Oh,
oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing. Nothing is better than you.
Hole in all of our hearts, and we realize that nothing can fill it like He can. So we give you that space, Lord, to do what only you can do. Hey, come on, you turn
more.
Come on, you give beauty for ashes.
You give beauty for ashes.
You turn shame into glory.
You turn shame into glory.
You're the only. Can He do? You turn graves into gardens.
You turn graves into gardens.
turn bones into armies.
Turn bones into armies.
Come on and say it. You turn seas into highways.
Turn seas into highways.
You're the only one.
You're the only one who cares.
One more time. You turn graves into gardens.
You turn graves into gardens.
Bones into armies.
You turn bones into armies.
And seas into highways. Thank you. It's in him we live, we move, we have our being. The fact that we have breath in our lungs, the very reason that we can give him praise. David said, the grave can't praise you. So allow us to live in your presence, God, so that we can continue to give you the fruit of our lips, so we can continue to offer you the worship that you are due. You are our source. You are our strength. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. Is your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our. So we pour out our praise to you only. Yeah, yeah. Great are you, Lord.
You give life.
You are love. You give hope. So you deserve a great praise. We want to give you praise that fits where you sit. Yes, God.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great are you, Lord, everlasting, oh, everlasting.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will say, great. Say, great are you.
Tell him, great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. There's no one like you. You alone are worthy. You alone deserve all the glory. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord.
Bless your name.
Yeah,
all honor.
Hallelujah.
All honor.
Man. What a great time of worship. What a great time of worship. The singers, the musicians, you're doing such a great job today, aren't they? There is there's such a presence of the Lord. And you see, that's what happens when you worship God. He inhabits our praise. The presence of the Lord is in this place. And when I say that, let me explain to you. Because God is everywhere present.
Right.
About that, I think it was David. He said, if I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go down to the hell, you're there. God's everywhere. But His presence is not felt everywhere. It's not manifested everywhere. And when you begin to worship Him, His presence begins to manifest.
Right.
You begin to feel His presence.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
We're going to do prayer now.
Right.
And we're going to be praying for people. I just want to jump up here real quick because before service, I was talking to William. And William's back there in the media. And he just was telling me a great testimony about prayer.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he hadn't worked. He hasn't worked in 2 years. Right. He hadn't been able to work. And when William first came into our church about a year ago, he was on a walker, and he could barely, he had to take the elevator upstairs. And so the Lord's done such a great work in his life. He's running up and down those stairs now. He doesn't have the walker anymore. The Lord has healed him. But not only that, so we knew about that already.
Yeah.
But then he said he applied for Social Security, and he was turned down. Right, William? And so the Lord, the Holy Spirit started guiding him, and he went online and he started filling in applications for a job. Now he hasn't worked in 2 years, and it just so happened that he applied to go and work at the same, was it a therapy center that he had been in? Is it a therapy center? And he'd been at that very same center for treatment.
Wow.
They just hired him. He's working there.
Awesome.
He just
got hired.
So I told you, the reason I wanted to tell you that is because when we call for prayer and we pray for people, we're not doing this out of some kind of a religious program.
Right.
We're doing this because when we pray, miracles happen.
Amen.
When
Amen.
We pray, God answers.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Do you know that right now, as we stand in this place, we see earthly things, we feel feelings, we have things that come against us. But do you know that just in another realm that's just beyond this realm, everything that you could possibly need has been paid for.
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, and He sat down because everything that needed to be done had been done.
Yes.
and the work is finished, and you have a covenant with Almighty God. And so all it takes is a stretch of faith to stretch into the place where everything is done and bought and paid for, says the Lord.
Yes.
And you can pull it right out.
Yes.
Because it's a touch of faith that gets what you need from the Lord. So if it is physical healing, if it is mental freedom, whatever it is that you need, it is done, it is finished, it is bought, it is paid for, says the Lord.
Yes.
Don't think about, is this my will or is this not my will? I paid for it all, says the Lord. You are my child, says the Lord. Anything you need, ask and you will receive.
Yes.
That your joy may be full.
Yes.
If there's something in your life that is, there's no joy because of what you're dealing with, bring it to me, says the Lord. I'll replace it with joy. I'll replace it with freedom. I'll replace it with victory. Just bring it to me. Hallelujah. All it takes is a touch of faith. So we ask you right now, we have this, we're going to sing one more worship song to the Lord. And if you need prayer for anything, just come on forward and we'll pray for you. And we're going to touch the hem of his garment. Amen.
Yes.
Just touch the hem of his garment, whatever it is that we need, he has it.
Yes.
And to those that are watching to our online church, right now, I symbolically stretch my hand out to you, and I just release with the power of the name of Jesus. Father, everything that they are asking or that they are needing right now, we just release that. I thank you for deliverance. I thank you for healing. I thank you for freedom. Thank you for restoration in families, peace of mind, bondages broken in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, we pray for every person watching this right now, Father. Thank you if they need healing. Thank you for your healing power that touches them right now.
Thank you,
thank you for setting people free. Thank you for meeting every need. Lord, we give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory in Jesus' name. And we, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, in this place. I thank you for touching every person here present and those watching, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that fills us anew and touches us today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer, come on forward. We're going to be here to pray, and we're going to sing this last song called Jireh. Let's just lift our hands, lift our voice. Come on, let's worship the Lord today. He is our provider. He is Jehovah Jireh.
I'll never be more loved than I am right now. Wasn't holding you up, so there's nothing I can do to let you down. It doesn't take a trophy to make you proud. I'll never be more loved than I am right now.
Going through a storm, but I won't go down. I hear your voice carried in the rhythm of the wind to call me out.
And you would cross an ocean so I wouldn't drown.
You've never been closer than you are right now, 'cause you are
Jireh. You are enough. I will be content in every circumstance.
You are
Jireh.
You are
enough.
You're
forever enough. Always enough. More than enough. Oh.
You're forever enough.
Always enough. You're more than enough. I won't forget how I feel right now. On the mountaintop, I can see so clear what it's all about. So stay by my side till the sun goes down. Don't wanna forget how I feel right now, 'cause you are Jireh.
circumstance.
You are
Jireh. You are enough. Forever enough. Always enough. He's more than enough.
He's
forever enough. Always enough. He's more than enough. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. And I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved. More than I could imagine. And that is enough.
I'm already loved. I'm already chosen. I know who I am. I know what you've spoken. I'm already loved. More than I could imagine.
And that is enough.
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 more than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power, He's working it out. Than you ask, think, or imagine. According to His power, He's working it up. It's more than He does.
He's working it up. He's working it up. He's working it up.
He's working it up.
It's you are
Jireh. You are enough, Jireh. You are enough. I will be content in every circumstance.
You are
Jireh. You are enough.
That's what you declare over yourself when you don't know, when you can't see a way and you don't know your way out. He is more than enough.
More than enough.
He is more than enough. Come
more
on, church.
Than enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you just love that? You know what that is? That's focusing on one aspect of God, just one name of God, Jireh. And when you just begin to think, just sing around that, it builds such a confidence in you of God as your provider. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. How good to see you this morning. Turn and greet someone. Tell them your name if you don't know them. God, welcome, welcome. How wonderful to see you this morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord, right? Welcome to our online church. So glad you're joining us this morning from wherever you're watching. You know, we have all these various ways that you can watch the service. If you're watching on Facebook Live, go ahead, tell us where you're watching from. People watch from all over the world. Sometimes you wonder how they even heard about it. Usually it's through somebody they know sharing that. People watch on YouTube. We had a friend of ours say, man, I've been watching that Holy Spirit series on YouTube, and it's blessed me so much. So welcome. We're glad you're here in the service with us, participating in the service with us. And I especially want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time. If you've never been to a service at Ascend Church, welcome. We're glad that you're here. If you're here, we'd just like to hand you a visitor pack right where you're sitting. So if you're here for the first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we could hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting? Anyone else for the first time? Sometimes people come and they've been a long time ago. Well, if you are here for the first time, make sure you fill out a guest card and just drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. Thank you for doing that. We're going to pass the attendance register. Let us know you're here. We appreciate that. And I want to mention the text message, because we had two different people say to us this week that they've dropped off the texting service. And so if you don't receive our weekly church text, then you text the word ascend to that number. You text the word ascend to that number. Leave it up there for a minute. So if you don't get the text, just put that up, because sometimes people say, I didn't know what was going on. I was out of church when I didn't hear that announcement or what have you. It's also when the church sends the text on the weekend, letting you know what the service is going to be about or what's coming up. It's also easy for you to forward that on to somebody else that you want to invite. So make sure you're on that text list. Thank you. And I just want to remind you about the four main purposes of our church. The first one is that you may know God. How many of you feel like you know God somewhat?
How many of you have been growing in your knowledge of the Lord? I feel like that every service. I feel like that every week. I feel like that every time I read my Bible. You grow in the knowledge of the Lord. And that's what we want this week. And this is like what we do in the week. This is like compounded. This is like multiplied, right? In service. And the church is God's idea. You know, I've been studying in the book of Revelation, and what really struck me, one of the things was the Bible says Jesus gives these messages to the church, and he says there were 7 golden lampstands, and it says he moves, he walks between the lampstands. That means Jesus is very aware of what's taking place in church. He's very aware of what people are doing. He says, I know this that you're doing. He commends them. I know these things. Well done. And then he says, something's lacking over here. We need something there. What I'm saying is that God's very aware of what's taking place in church, and church matters. Amen. And so I'm thankful to be a part of this church. And second of all, we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, to discover your purpose. And lastly, to make a difference with your life. Amen. How many people ready for the word?
I'm ready.
You ready? Well, that's the most important thing.
I think we're ready. Are you ready for God's word today? I'm ready. It's great to have Weston on bass guitar today. If you didn't know it, Weston is Abel's older brother. So I am bookend by Cartwrights. I've got Cartwrights in front of me, Cartwrights to the left of me, Cartwrights to the right of me. It's great to have you back, Weston. What a great time of worship today, man. What a great time of worship. I loved it. We've got to get into God's Word. Running a little late. But you know what? When you get into the presence of God, you don't want to run out of the presence of God. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch every life, every heart, that your word will go forth into every heart, and that it'll cause our faith to rise up big. I pray that you will bring revelation and understanding to every person's mind. And Lord, I give you all the praise for everything that will be said and done today. In Jesus' name, amen. We good? Praise the Lord. Did it just start now? Just started now? All right. Well, today we're starting a new series, and it's called Beyond Blessed. Say, Beyond Blessed. And you may wonder, you know, what do you mean, Pastor Steve, by beyond blessed? I mean, if you're blessed, aren't you blessed? How can you go beyond being blessed? Well, what I mean by beyond blessed is that God so blesses you that you can become a blessing to others, that you can begin to bless other people. That's what it means to be beyond blessed. And this is part number one, and I'm calling it Be a Blessing. And this really goes all the way back to our father in the faith. Abraham is called the father of our faith. And look what God said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, in verse number 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. Say, bless you. And I will make you famous, and you shall be a blessing to others. So God said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. See, that's what it means to be beyond blessed, where I'm blessed, but now I become a blessing. And you may say, well, Pastor Steve, what has that got to do with us? I mean, that's Abraham. Well, it's very interesting to me. If you read Galatians chapter 3 from verse 13, it said, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles, that's you and me, with the same blessing that he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. And then in verse 29 of Galatians 3, it says, and now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So when you say, what's that got to do with me? Well, whatever God promised Abraham, because you have a covenant with God through Jesus, every promise to Abraham is now a promise to you. So when God said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing, that promise is for you. God wants to bless you, and he wants to make you a blessing. Are you with me so far? Now, a few things I want to share with you today. Actually, seven, and I'm going to move as fast as I can. But the first one is, if you're going to live beyond blessed, you've got to realize that it takes two legs. It takes two legs. If you're going to get anywhere, you've got to use both of your legs, right? And the two legs for living beyond blessed are generosity and stewardship. Now, if you're generous, but you're not a good steward, God's never going to really open the windows of heaven above you like he would like to and bless you like he would like to, you know, because he can never give you a lot of resources if you don't understand stewardship, because you won't manage it and it'll be wasted. Are you with me? On the other hand, you may be a good steward, but if you're not generous, then why would God bless you either? Because God's purpose is to get the money to the people who need it and to fund his kingdom, his purpose in this world. And what is God's purpose? He wants everybody to be saved. So think about the need. All the people who need, you know, food, water, the gospel preached to them, churches built, missionaries sent out. Think about all the need in the world. So over here, we've got the supply, which is God. He owns everything. Everything belongs to him. And so that's, you know, all the resources are with God. And over here, we have the need. And what's between God, the source, and the need? You. You stand between the two. And God channels his resources through his children. He's trying to get it over here to the need. Are you with me? So God will bless you, but if it doesn't get over there to the need, he's going to move on to someone else. He's going to find someone who will be a river and not a reservoir. God's looking for rivers, not reservoirs, because he's trying to help these people that have the need. He's trying to get to minister to these people. And, you know, some people are generous, but they're not good stewards. They don't know how to manage it. And it limits what God can do in their life. It reminds me of one time I saw this cartoon character. I can't think of who it was now. It might have been, who's the duck? It might have been Donald Duck. It could have been Donald Duck. But in this cartoon, he had one shoe nailed to the floor. And he was just doing this. And that's what it's like. If you've only got one of these legs operating, you're not really going to be making progress. You're going to be going around in circles. Are you with me? It's what a lot of Christians are like. They're either generous or they're good stewards or one of the other, and it's keeping them from moving forward. You've got to have both legs. You've got to be a good steward, and you've got to be generous at the same time to live this beyond blessed life. Because God wants his kids to go to being beyond blessed, to get so blessed that they become a blessing. Are you with me? And we get to be a blessing. We get to give it away. We get to help people and minister to people. We get to partner with God and fund his purpose in the earth. We get to work with the Lord. Number two, someone said, why talk about money? Some people don't think you should talk about money in church. They don't think a pastor should talk about, you know, money. It's not very spiritual. But my exactly. Have you ever read the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible? Because it talks a lot about money. Anyone here read the Bible cover to cover? Wave your hand at me if you read it cover to cover. Good for you. Well, you would have noticed that the Bible talks a lot about money. Maybe you say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor Steve. Well, I do. I've studied it for 40 years. There's 336 scriptures in the Bible that mention the word faith. And there's 442 scriptures that mention the word love. And do you know how many scriptures refer to money, possessions, giving? Over 2,000 scriptures that mention giving or possessions or relate to that subject. Do you know that one out of every six verses in the New Testament mentions money? In fact, Jesus talked about it so much, he probably would have upset you. Because 16 of Jesus' 38 parables talk about money and possessions. It's almost 50% of the parables Jesus talked about money and possessions. Every time somebody worshiped God in the Bible, they would bring an offering. God commanded offerings. God's the one who set up tithing. Tithing was not some preacher's idea, even though some of you think it was a preacher's idea. No, it's God's idea. God put tithing in the Bible, and God said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Amen. Now, was Jesus trying to get the people's money? Before I answer that, am I trying to get your money? I don't want to be mean, but that's not my... I don't need your money. You may think, well, Pastor Steve, you need my money to build the church. You need it to build this church. Thanks, Richard. But you know what? I don't, because God built this church. Well, yes, but he used my money. No, he used his money. Now, I would be very careful about calling the money in your account yours. Because God will let you know pretty quick whose it is. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And I really want to talk about stewardship today and the central foundation of stewardship. That you've got to understand is, whose is it? Who's the owner and who's the steward? God is the owner. He owns it all. And he directs it through those who will be good stewards and who will be generous and who will do what he wants them to do. Because he's trying to get it to the need. He wants it to go to his purposes. So I don't apologize for preaching about giving. And the reason is because I know that it's actually a blessing for you to give. I know that it is giving is a blessing. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. And I believe this with all my heart. I wouldn't apologize, you know, if I'm preaching about prayer or the Holy Spirit or marriage or faith. Why? Because I'm helping you. I know in my heart I'm doing this to help you, and I know that it will help you. What I'm going to share with you today is life-changing. Now, was Jesus trying to get their money? No, Jesus was trying to get their heart. And that's why he had to talk about money. Let's read it directly from Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be too. Wherever your treasure is, Jesus said, that's where your heart will be. Now, how many times do we get that backward? I've even heard preachers get it backward. They'll say, you know, the Bible says where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. No, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you with me? In other words, your heart may not be there now, but it will move there once you put your treasure there. One pastor said, if I can get the people's heart in the church, then I know they will give. Actually, if you can get them to give, then their hearts will be there. Your heart follows where your treasure is. I heard one pastor, he told this story. He was a guest speaker at a church. He's a very, very well-known pastor. And he was a guest speaker at a church. And the pastor said, Listen, please, if you see anything in the service that you can help us to improve, please let me know afterwards if there's anything you see. So afterwards, after church, they went to dinner, and he said to the pastor, actually, I did see something. He said, what was it? He said, I realize that you don't believe in your heart that giving is a blessing. And so the pastor said, why would you say that? He said, because while you were receiving the offering in tonight's service, you said, now this is not for guests. This is just for our members. He said, that would be the same as saying, imagine next Sunday you came to church and you said, we've got some 18-wheeler trucks out there in the parking lot. They're full of brand new designer clothes from Saks, Neiman Marcus, Nordstrom, Macy's, and they're all free, except this isn't for you guests. This is only for our members. You see, the pastor of the church, he said, you see, when you said this is just for guests, you're letting me know that you don't really believe that giving is a blessing. Because when I give people an opportunity to give, I'm giving them an opportunity to be blessed so they can be a blessing. That's why I don't apologize for preaching about this, because I really believe that giving is a blessing to you. Number three, being a blessing. God blesses us for two reasons. Number one, God blesses you because he loves you. Just like you bless your children because you love them. God loves you and he wants to bless you. He wants to be good to you. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be blessed. There's nothing wrong with wanting to live in a safe neighborhood. There's nothing wrong with wanting a bigger home with more bedrooms so your kids don't have to share bedrooms. There's nothing wrong with wanting more bathrooms or wanting to live in a better school district or wanting to send your kids to Christian school. There's nothing wrong with any of those things, family. There's nothing wrong with wanting to send your kids to college. There's nothing wrong with wanting to drive a nice, dependable car, because the enemy will try and tell you, oh, that's just materialism. You're supposed to give it all up for Christ. That's what the enemy will tell you. And he'll try and bring condemnation on you. But I want you to know there's nothing wrong in wanting something nice for your family. God wants to bless you. Secondly, God wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Amen? There was a popular book a few years back. I don't know if you read it. It was called The Prayer of Jabez. And I think it was written by Bruce Wilkerson. And it's based on this scripture in the Bible in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. It says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. Now, the name Jabez in Hebrew actually means pain or hurt or sorrow. That's what his name meant. And it says in verse 10, Jabez called on the God of Israel. And he said, oh, that you would bless me. He said, Lord, I pray that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And it says God granted him what he requested. He asked God to bless him and that he would not cause pain. You could say he wanted to be a blessing. Amen. Now, was that a bad prayer? Well, if it was, why would God grant it? And why would God call the man who prayed it more honorable than his brothers? An honorable man prayed to be blessed, and God granted it. Why? So that he could be a blessing. You see, is it wrong to ask God to bless you? No. It's not wrong to ask God to bless you. God wants to bless you, but he also wants you to be a blessing. Are you with me? Let me give you an analogy. Let's just imagine you lived in a farming community, and there's a mechanic in the community. He works on people's cars for them, and you know, he'll fix single moms' cars for free and widows' cars for free. I mean, he'll even pay for the parts himself. He helps the farmers bring in the harvest, but he struggles to get by. He just doesn't make enough. And so the dairy farmer gives the mechanic some milk, And the chicken farmer gives the mechanic some eggs. And let's just say that you own an apple orchard and you give him apples. And then one day another family moves in and you think you should help them too. So you help them too. And then another family, and as the community grows, pretty soon you're helping five or six families. Then you look at a piece of land that you have, and you never planted anything on it, and you think, man, if I could clear this land and fertilize that soil, I could plant some trees. I could help some more people in the community. So you plant the seeds, and then you pray, and you ask God to bless you. Is that wrong? No. I think the enemy has so messed up the church that we think that we should never ask God to be blessed. But God wants to bless you. And today, in some places, if a preacher even preaches on being blessed, some people think, oh, that's that prosperity stuff. You know, this guy's just materialistic. No, it's not wrong to be a blessing. That's what Beyond Blessed is all about. Beyond Blessed is being a blessing. Not being blessed for just selfish reasons, so I can have five yachts, but so that I can be a blessing to other people and I can fund the kingdom and purpose of God in this earth. Amen? But let me tell you, you've got to be able to manage your finances so that you can bless other people when God tells you to. I want all of us to live a life where we can be a blessing, where we can live a life that's blessed and beyond blessed. Can you say amen? Number four, if you're going to live a life of beyond blessed, you've got to be a good steward. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 1, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ. Say, I'm a servant of Christ. And stewards of the mystery of God. Say, I'm a steward. It says, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Stewards are required to be faithful. A steward is a manager. In fact, that's how the New Living Bible says it. It says a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. We are all stewards and managers of what God has entrusted us with. The Living Bible says the most important thing about a steward is that he does just what his master tells him to. That's the most important thing. And what happens to good stewards when you're a good steward? What happens? Jesus said in Luke 16, listen to this, verse 9. He said, it is important that you use the wealth of this world to demonstrate your friendship with God by winning friends and blessing them, blessing other people. Then when the world fails and falls apart, your generosity will provide you with an eternal reward. The one who manages, say manages, the one who manages the little that he has been given with faithfulness and integrity will be promoted and trusted with greater responsibilities. But those who cheat with the little that they have been given will not be considered trustworthy to receive more. Can you see how important stewardship is? Stewardship is the foundation to living a blessed life. And at the foundation of stewardship is ownership. If I told you today, you know, I'm going to preach on stewardship, some of you may have a tendency to kind of tune me out and say, yeah, I know about stewardship. Pastor, he's going to preach about giving today. But it's not stewardship we're going to talk about. It's ownership, which is the foundation for stewardship. You see, you'll never be a good steward if you don't understand who the owner actually is. Is the money in your account yours? No. Number five, it all belongs to God. Say, it all belongs to God. Now, look at this. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth belongs to God. Everything in all the world is His. Psalm 50, verse 10. For every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills, I know all the birds of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I love that verse. If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why? God wouldn't have to ask you. He'd just eat one of the cows on the land that belongs to Him. For the world is mine, and all its fullness. Haggai 2 verse 8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. See, if you're going to live a life that's beyond blessed, this is a revelation you got to get. You got to understand that you can work for it, you can earn it, your name could even be on the deed. But really, it belongs to God. He just lets you manage it while you're here on the earth. That's why when God tells you to give, you don't grieve over it, doesn't bother you, because you know that it's all God's. When you understand that it's all God's, it all belongs to Him, then you understand the money that you have in your account, it's not yours, it's His. He gave it to you so you can be a blessing. How many ladies got a diamond ring? Wave your hand. Do you know where that diamond came from? It came from the minerals in the earth. Do you know that diamond ring belongs to God? The metal that you drove here to get to church today, that metal came from the earth. It belongs to God. The house you live in, every brick and every piece of wood came from this earth. It all belongs to God. Your house belongs to God. Your car belongs to God. Your diamond belongs to God. Everything you have actually is God's. Now, many of you have this revelation, and many of you sort of have it, and many of you don't have it at all. But I pray today you got to get it, because it changes everything. It is the greatest way in the world to live, to be blessed and have wonderful things that you can enjoy and not own any of them. You're simply a steward of what God has given to you. Are you with me? You got to get this deep down in your heart, because God blesses good stewardship. It's the same way, you know, in the same way that people give, and God blesses it supernaturally. Do you know when you become a good steward, God blesses you supernaturally? There's a supernatural, miraculous element from heaven on your finances. I'm not just talking about the numbers add up because you did a budget. I'm saying God begins to supernaturally bless you when you become a good steward. Number six, the first belongs to God. Exodus 13, verse 2, dedicate to me every firstborn among the Israelites. The first offspring is to be born of both humans and animals, belongs to me. In Exodus 23, verse 19, the first of the firstfruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. The first of the firstfruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Now, how do I know that the first of the firstfruits belong to God? Because God didn't say to give them, God said to bring them. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the firstfruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Amen. You know, stewardship goes all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to Genesis. When God created the earth and He made Adam and Eve, He put them in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says He told them to tend it and to care for it, but it didn't belong to them. It belonged to God. And they were to look after it, and they were to enjoy everything that God had created. Stewardship goes right back to the beginning. And let me tell you, in Genesis chapter 4, in verse 3, it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel, his brother, also brought of the firstborn, say firstborn, the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but He didn't respect Cain and his offering. He didn't accept Cain's offering. And we know that, you know, Cain got so mad and jealous that he killed his brother Abel. You see, Cain brought an offering that doesn't say he brought the first fruits. Abel was quick to bring the firstborn. And God respected Abel's offering, but not Cain's. You know, so many people say tithing was under the law, and we don't live under the law. And that's true. We don't live under the law. But do you think that you can murder today or commit adultery or steal or lie and it not affect your life? Because if you think that, you're deceived. And if you think that you can take what belongs to God and not be affected, you are greatly deceived. Let me just give you a little timeline on tithing for people that say tithing's under the law. Cain and Abel, they lived 4,000 years before Christ. 4,000 years before Christ is what happened with Cain and Abel bringing the firstborn. Then Abraham, he lived 2,000 years before Christ. And then Moses, when the law came with Moses, you know, the Ten Commandments, he lived 1,500 years before Christ. And then David, just to give you a little perspective, David lived 1,000 years before Christ. So Abel tithed, brought the firstborn 2,500 years before the law came with Moses. God accepted the firstborn offering, but he did not accept Cain's offering because it was not the first fruits. It was not the firstborn as God had said. Now, this is a divine principle with God that goes back to the beginning. By the way, 2,500 years before the law came, which would say, thou shalt not murder, was murder still wrong when Cain killed Abel? Was murder still wrong? There was no law. So did murder become wrong when the law was given? No. And let me tell you, tithing did not become right when the law was given. Abraham lived 500 years before the law, and he tithed. In Genesis 14:20, Abram gave a tenth, a tithe of everything. He was a tither. Why would Abraham tithe 500 years before the law came, unless he knew that it's a divine principle that the first of all your income belongs to God? You say, well, Pastor Steve, I don't understand that word belongs, because didn't you say that it all belongs to God? Yes, it all belongs to God. But God has set aside the first tenth for himself. I believe this is to finance the kingdom of God, and I believe it's also because it's one way to prove that God is first in our life. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, the scripture says the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. The first tenth of our income belongs to God. And that's why God says someone who does not return the tithe to God's house, God calls them a thief. In Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Jesus himself, in Matthew 23:23, he said, yes, you should tithe. Number 7, the tithe belongs to God. The word tithe means tenth, 10%. And when you see this in the Bible, it always means the first tenth. When your sheep had a lamb, you were to give the first one to God, not the tenth one, the first one. And here's why. It doesn't take any faith to give the tenth one. It takes faith to give the first one, because you don't know how many more lambs you're going to have. And when the Israelites took the city of Jericho, that was the first city of the promised land they conquered, God told them to bring, not give, to bring all the silver and all the gold into the house of the Lord. Why did he say that? Because Jericho was the first city that they took. And it's the principle of first. God said, bring him the first, and the rest will be blessed. Now, a man named Achan decided that he was going to keep back some of the silver and the gold from the city of Jericho. And the next battle they had with a nation called Ai, which was a small nation, a small army, they lost the battle. They were defeated. And the Lord spoke to Joshua in Joshua 7, verse 11. He said, Israel has sinned. They've broken my covenant. They've stolen some of the things that I commanded must be set apart for me. And they've not only stolen them, but they've lied about it. And they've hidden the things amongst their own belongings. That's why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. See, God said they stole from him. Why? Because the tithe belongs to the Lord. Leviticus 27 verse 30 says, all of the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Amen. Let me tell you, tithing brings you out from under the curse. Robbing God puts you under a curse. Malachi 3 verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing, there won't be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts, and all the nations will call you blessed. Now listen. God is not going to give us more money if we can't even be faithful with the money that he's already given us. If a person can't handle $500 a week, why would God give them $5,000 a week? God is wanting to build his kingdom. That's why God is going to entrust funds to people who are proving to him that they will be good stewards with those funds. Can you say amen? Giving when God tells them to give. They won't waste their resources on useless things. We see this in the parable of the talents. Is Monique back there? I've got the old notes. The updated ones are not in there. So I'm going to see how we do today. Matthew. Have you got from Matthew, from verse? Okay, let's read this together because I don't have it on my screen. For the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 25, Jesus told this parable. He said, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, no, just hold it there. Jesus said this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Do you know there's only 11 times in the book of Matthew where Jesus said this is what the kingdom of heaven is like, and this is one of them. It's a great study to look at. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like a man traveling to a far country, and he says he called his servants together, and he gave his goods to them. And it says, next verse, for to one he gave 5 talents, and to another he gave 2 talents, and to another one he gave 1 talent, to each one according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, if you don't know it, a talent is talking about money. This is talking about money, because a talent was a measurement of silver or a measurement of gold. A talent was 100 pounds. And this is talking about money. In that day, a day's wage was 1 denarii. 1 denarius was a day's wage. 300 denarii was a year's wage. So a talent was, this was like 10 years' wages. It's like a lifetime. So it's talking about money, because sometimes people use the scripture to talk about, well, if you're faithful with the talents and the abilities God gave you, then, you know, he's going to reward you. This is actually talking about stewardship. It's talking about Jesus gone on a journey, and he's entrusted us with resources, and he's going to come back, and we're going to give an account. That's what it's talking about. Go to the next verse for me, if you would, please. Then he who had received the five, did I read all of verse 15? He who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made another 5 talents. The word traded means to do business. And it says, likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also, but he who had received the one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Whose money? His Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. How many of you know that Jesus is coming back? So he who had received 5 talents came and he said, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Have you ever heard that statement before? Have you ever heard that, well done, good? Don't we all say, that's what I want to hear. I want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. How many of you know we all want to hear that? Do you know it's talking about? You know what it's talking about? Stewardship. It's talking about we're going to give an account before God how we handled our money. That's what it's talking about. Let's read on. He also had received the two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I've gained two more beside them. And he says the same thing. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He heard the same thing. So it's not about how much you have. It's about being a good steward and faithful with what God has entrusted to you. Now, it says, the last one, give me the last one, before that, verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. Do you know there's some people that think about that, about God? That God, oh, I know you're hard, God. You're a hard God. That's a lie. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, here you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, now notice what he says. You wicked, lazy servant. He said, you knew that I reap where I've not sown and gather where I've not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have had received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that is a sobering. I don't know about for you, but it's a sobering scripture for me. That's a sobering scripture that I am going to give an account before God. Amen. What did I do with the resources that he entrusted to me? Can I tell you that God rewards good stewardship? Poor stewards lose resources, but good stewards receive more. The Lord gives more to those who demonstrate trustworthiness. And some people think they're exempt from stewardship because they don't make much. But it's about being faithful with the little that leads to being entrusted with more. Are you with me? Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, if I won the lottery, oh, I'd give a tithe to the church. Right. Right, you would. What makes you think that you would tithe on a big amount if you can't tithe on your income right now? Why would God entrust $10 million to someone that can't tithe on $1,000? I believe God wants to bring wealth into your hands. But you've got to determine that you'll be a good steward and you'll do what God tells you to do, that you'll live to be a blessing, that you'll be generous. Amen. I'll close with this, Proverbs 11, verse 24. Generosity brings prosperity, but withholding from charity brings poverty. Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor. Can I tell you, generosity brings prosperity? Those who live to bless others, the Bible says they will be blessed. The two keys to living a beyond blessed life is generosity and stewardship. And we'll pick up from there next week. We'll pick up next week from there. But I pray today that you get this revelation today of stewardship, because it'll change the way you live. It really will. It really will. You know, Abel here, and he doesn't know I'm going to say this, and he probably wouldn't want me to say it. But I wasn't aware of this until my wife pointed it out to me just like last week. She said, do you know that Abel gives 25% of his income Now I know what your income is. I've got a good idea. Not down to the penny, but I've got an idea because you told me. So I went and looked at the records because we keep the record of giving every week. And I looked at it and I was like, you're right. I just want to commend you, Abel, on being such a good steward. Being such a good steward. And I'm telling you right now, that's the kind of person God's looking for. He knows he can trust you. And I believe God is going to bring wealth into your hands. I believe you are going to be wealthy, Abel, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we are right now, we're going to have an opportunity to put into practice what we just heard. Like Sister Dimini said, we're going to put it into practice now. Amen. We're going to give to the Lord. We're going to honor the Lord. We're going to return to God, first of all, what is His. Whatever you receive this week, whatever kind of income or blessings, the first tenth of that is God's. I encourage you, don't steal from Him, don't rob from Him. Honor Him and watch and see what God does in your life. In fact, God actually challenges us. He said, put me to the test. I like to call it the tithe test. I promise you, it's the only place where God says, test me. It's the only place where God says, test me. Watch and see. I've never spoken to anyone who is a tither who said, Pastor Steve, this doesn't work. I get the same testimonies from tithers for the past 40 years. I started tithing, God started blessing me, and I get the same testimony from non-tithers. Well, I can't afford it. You watch and see what God will do in your life. I really, really believe that God wants every one of us to be a blessing. And there's some people that God wants to bring big amounts, huge resources into your hand. But here's the question. Why should He bring it into your hands? Will you be faithful to do what He tells you to do with it? Amen. Do you receive this today? Did you get something out of this today? Praise God. Thank you for your enthusiasm. As you know, there are different ways that you can give. We're giving to the Lord right now. This is offering time. Put up the ways to give for me. You can give using the envelope in the seat back in front of you. Put cash in there. You can use a card if you want a bank card or write a check. You can also give online at ascendchurch.us. You can give with our Cash App. We have text giving. We have PayPal, various ways. I want you to let me know when you're ready because we're going to pray right now over this because I'm trusting God for you to step into a new level of blessing in your life. Let me tell you right now, get ready. Get ready. The world is about to go through. We're going through it already. We're going through it already. Just fill up your car at the gas tank. But it's going to get worse. I'm not going to be negative, but it's going to be worse. But if you are honoring God, you don't have to worry. If you're honoring God and you're doing what He tells you to do, let me tell you, God is going to make sure you're taken care of. I love the fact that when there were the plagues in Egypt, there was light in Goshen. And let me tell you, it might be dark out there in the world, and people are going to really, you watch and see what's going to happen. It's deeply concerning. But if you, we are in the world, but we're not of the world, and the Lord's going to take care of His people in the midst of it. I believe that this is the time for Christians to rise up and really see supernatural things happen. The wealth of the sinner coming into the hand of the righteous. The Bible says the wealth of the sinner has been stored up and laid up for the righteous. And I believe God wants to bring wealth into our hands, but we've got to get the stewardship right. We've got to realize we don't own anything. It all belongs to you, Lord, and I thank you that I can enjoy it, but one day I'm going to be out of here. I'm not taking anything with me. Isn't that right? Father, we thank you today that you are so generous that everything we have comes from you. Lord, we acknowledge that we don't own anything. that it all belongs to you. We thank you for your goodness toward us. We thank you, Lord, that you have made us stewards. And we thank you, Lord, that it is your will to bless us so that we can be a blessing. And I pray for every person today in this church, everyone who's giving, everyone who's tithing, people giving online, people tithing online. Lord, I pray for everyone right now that you would cause blessings to flow through their life, that they would become a river of blessing in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would open the window of this heaven and you would pour blessing upon them, that you would rebuke the devourer. I thank you, Lord, that you protect them. And I thank you, Lord, that you bless them, that you open doors supernaturally, that you bless their finances supernaturally. You cause supernatural things to happen, Lord, where they'll look up and say, oh, this could only be the hand of God. I thank you for it, and I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on. Now we'll do it right at the end. Are you ready? You ready to give? Can we go ahead and pass the giving buckets, or you need some more time? All right.
You know, Pastor Steve was chatting. We were talking. He likes to tell me as he's preparing things that minister to him, like out of this message. We felt very convicted. Just like personally, we thought, you know, if we could go back in time, we would manage our own finances differently.
Some things we bought, we wouldn't have bought.
Some things we're like, what were we thinking? Why didn't we use that differently? And so it's never a bad time to start changing your focus, right?
That's right.
Amen. I just want to remind you that...
Next Sunday,
we've got the fish fry.
Family and Friends Day and the fish fry.
You fishing? You were born ready. When it comes to fish, you were born ready. We're going to have a great time. So how many of you have already bought a ticket for the fish fry? Good. How about the rest of you? You're going to be here next week? We've got them. They're $10 for adults and $5 for children. That'll get you a full fresh fish meal with fries and coleslaw. And then we ask... We're doing this as a Family and Friends Day. So it's not just that that we have lunch together, which is great, but it's that we use it as an opportunity to bring people. Bring your neighbors, bring a family member, bring somebody who would come for a meal but wouldn't come for church, right? And so go ahead and obviously we're not going to turn anyone away. If you cannot afford to do that, to let us know, it's fine. But if you can... bless somebody else as well. We have people buying tickets for all kinds of friends, and they'll be here next week. So there's two things we're asking. One is that you sign up to bring desserts, because we know how good you bake, right? And so in the lobby, sign up to bring a dessert. And then also anybody who has a canopy or some folding chairs or tables, please won't you just put your name down there, and we'll text you in the week and remind you. But we need a few canopies for shade, and you know, if we rent them, somebody's going to say, you should have just asked me, I have some. So we need canopies, a few tables, and some folding chairs. Just let us know, go put your name down there in the lobby there, just write your name down, tell us what you have, and next Sunday is going to be incredible. Amen. Michelle, just tell us about tonight. Oh, you doing it?
Yes. Tonight is our next Ascend Youth Gathering. This will be our third one. Good. Who are the team? Oh, a couple I haven't seen on Sunday night yet. You should come tonight. Starts at 5 p.m. And it is every other week. So if you don't come tonight, you have to wait for 2 weeks for the next one. And you'd be missing out on something pretty great. So you should also make sure, parents, to ask your kids, I almost said students, teacher brain, what we're talking about tonight, because Abel's going to have a great word. So you should ask some questions and find out how it goes. Oh, and Thursday night is prayer. It'll come up. And I just want to say something. If you've been here for the last 5 weeks talking about Holy Spirit, hearing Pastor Steve teach on it, you're going to encounter him. So if you want to see it lived out, come to this time of intimate worship and just lifting him high and see how your life is radically changed in less than 2 hours. So, yeah.
Good. Thank you, Michelle.
Praise the Lord. Well, stand up with me, would you, as we're going to close in prayer right now. Thank you. I wanted to mention how heartbroken we are over what happened in Uvalde, Texas, this last week. I mean, I can't stop thinking about it. It's so terrible. And someone asked me, Pastor Steve, how could this happen? Will you say something about it? How can this happen? And here's what I want you to say. I want you to know is that understand that the Bible says that Satan is the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. Satan is the god of this world. And the Bible talks about evil spirits and principalities and powers that are working in the air above. And you've got to realize when something terrible like this happens, the devil is behind it. See, people often think, how could God let this happen? But you see, God has given authority on this earth to us, the church, and the enemy is the god of this world, and he came to steal and kill and destroy. And when something like this happens, you've got to realize it's nothing to do with the Lord. This is the devil. The devil is a bad, mean devil. And anyone who does something like shoot innocent children has got to have the devil working in them, because you can't even be in your right mind to do something like that. And I also want to say that I really believe that we need to get prayer back in the schools in America, in the public schools in America. I really believe that, because people say, you know, guns is the problem. None of this happened before the mid-1970s, and there were guns around. It never happened. So there's a change in the culture, and what's happened in America, first of all, we took prayer out of schools, and now we have people so passionate about abortion. Just to, you know, you heard that them say, my body, my choice. Have you ever heard that? Do you know that it's not your body? You know your body belongs to God? Do you know the Bible says everything and every person on this earth belongs to him? So anyway, I want us to pray for Uvalde and the families that are there. Let's lift them up in prayer. And I want to tell you, it's so important. I pray for my grandchildren that they will have God's protection when they go to school. You need to pray for your kids. And you need to declare Psalm 91. Declare Psalm 91 over them. I pray for my grandchildren. I want us to pray today. Lord, you are the God who is close to the brokenhearted. We pray for all the families in Uvalde, Texas, who've suffered this terrible tragedy. We know that every one of those children is with you right now. Because Jesus, you said, unless we become like a child, we'll never see the kingdom of heaven. And so we know that every one of these children are with you, Lord, but we pray for the families that are left behind. We pray that you would comfort them and strengthen them and encourage them and reveal yourself to them, Lord. We pray that you would give them peace in the midst of this tragedy. And Father, I pray for America. I pray that there would be a revival across America. I pray, Father, for a revival, that prayer would return to schools, that churches would rise up, that Christians would go out and preach the gospel like never before. Father, I pray that you would protect our children, that your protection would be about the schools, Father. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you and praise you that you are good, Lord, and your mercy endures forever. While you have your eyes bowed in prayer, before we go today, I just want to pray, if there's anyone here this morning and you're not sure, if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord today, if you're not sure if all is right, if all is well between you and God, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know without any question, you know you would go to heaven? Or would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church. I'm not asking if you belong to a church. I'm not asking if you believe in God. I'm asking if you died today, are you absolutely sure you know that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can leave here today and you can know that all is right and all is well between you and the Lord. You can know for certain when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Let me tell you, heaven is it's a real place. There's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. And I want to pray for you this morning, and I'm not going to embarrass you or ask you to come out and just right where you're standing. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. I want to be sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me, Pastor Steve. If that's you right now, quickly, just shoot your hand up. Just lift your hand up high. I'm looking for hands. And if your hand is raised, you are included in this prayer this morning. Amen. See anybody? No. All righty. Now listen, next week. Sure. Come up quick, Pam. It's going to be fast because they're all going to be mad at me if you take a long time. So now, don't forget, next Sunday, Friends and Family Day, let's take this opportunity, invite someone to come next Sunday. Amen? Do we have a microphone up there? Pam was a school teacher for how many years? 31 years.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Pam.
You probably will never have an understanding of what happens. I used to teach over at Limestone Creek Elementary, which is just over that way. There was a code red at school. And I had to take 18 kindergartners into a dark closet. You will never know unless you had to go through that yourself, because right. There was a gunman on campus. To hold those kindergartners. Try to get as many as 18 of them around you and hug them as best you can when they don't know what's going on. I know. I have prayed over those kids. Those kids knew to come to me when they were having trouble with their families at home, because they knew I prayed. I am charging you. I am challenging you to get out of your slumber. I'm praying that you start praying for this city in this region.
Yes.
I'm charging you to come on Thursday night.
Yes.
I'm charging you to stop doing your comfort things and go walk on the school campuses and command the angels of the Lord to be stationed over those schools.
Yes.
I'm charging you to rise up out of it, because I know what it's like. You will never know until you've experienced it yourself.
Yes.
To hold those babies, those five-year-olds, when they didn't know what was going on. Because you have to practice this with them and practice. But when it really happens, and kindergartners are in a dark closet for 2.5 hours. Do you know how much prayer I had to do in that place? I am charging you and challenging you to step up your prayers.
Yes. Thank you. Now, you know, Michelle is also a school teacher at Palm Beach Gardens High School. And I was so thrilled you told me that they just asked you. They asked you to teach a biblical studies class at the Palm Beach Gardens High School. That is great news. That is great news. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm so glad you were here today. Tell them you're blessed to be a blessing. We'll see you next Sunday. Take one of those little flyers we got, handouts, and bring someone to the fish fry. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next week. Praise the Lord.
All my words fall short. I got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end.